Welcome to the Accenture MIT podcast series. Here's Daniel Jackson, professor of computer science at MIT.
In my last podcast, we talked about the user's relation or dependence graph and how to evaluate a software system by examining the relationship between modules. I explained how every dependence edge is a liability. So here's a recipe for high-quality software design. Put all the code in one huge module. Then there are certainly no dependencies because there's only one module. What do you think of that? Of course, it's no good at all. More important than reducing the dependencies between modules is to have modules in the first place and to make sure that they're small enough. If your system has many small modules, that increases the chance that when two developers need to work on the system, they will be working on different modules. And of course, small modules are easier to understand. So here's perhaps the most concrete and easy to understand example of separation of concerns that we've come across so far. Different concerns should be in different modules, so that when you create, analyze, or modify the code associated with a concern, you don't have to see code associated with other concerns at the same time. In an online store application, for example, item tracking and fulfillment of shipping requests are different concerns, so they should be in different modules. Separating concerns into separate modules can be hard, though. The problem is that the concerns aren't usually completely independent of one another. You can't ship an item that isn't available, and when an item is shipped, its tracking information will have to be changed. So even though shipping and tracking are different concerns, separating them is not so easy. The trouble actually starts back in requirements analysis. When different concerns occupy different phases, they're often separated into distinct use cases. For example, it's easy to separate account creation from shipping because the user creates an account in a separate phase. But shipping and tracking happen in overlapping phases, so it's harder to maintain a clean separation. It's tempting to record the requirements using scenarios that interweave both concerns. For example, saying that when the item is shipped, the shipment request should be marked as fulfilled, and the item should be removed from the inventory on the tracking side. But this conflates the two concerns, and is one of the risks of use case modeling. A better approach was developed in the 1990s by researchers under the name of views or viewpoints. The idea is quite simple. Instead of starting with the scenarios, you start by identifying key viewpoints or concerns. Often these are associated with particular stakeholders. For example, shipping fulfillment might be associated with the billing department, and item tracking might be associated with a stocking department. Then you can construct scenarios separately for each of these viewpoints or concerns, documenting the points at which they overlap. Let's return now to the question of how to achieve separation of concerns in the code. The problem, as we've noted, is that the concerns we want to separate are rarely disjoint, but rather overlap in small but crucial respects. In fact, some of the conventions of modern programming make matters worse. In particular, object-oriented programming creates trouble. The standard way to construct an object-oriented program is to build a class corresponding to each entity in the real world. So in our online store example, we might have a class item corresponding to an item that the store sells. Now, all the functionality associated with an entity is implemented as methods of the associated class. So we might have methods for displaying, tracking, and shipping items, for example, all in this item class. Now, I hope you can see the problem. The code for the tracking concern and the code for the shipping concern will belong to the same class. This flaw of object-oriented programming has been recognized for a long time. I think of it as a kind of entanglement in which different concerns get tangled up together in the same class. There have been many proposals for overcoming the problem and obtaining a better separation of concerns. There's an approach to object-oriented programming pioneered by Trygve Renskog, a professor at the University of Oslo, called OORAM, O-O-R-A-M, which stands for Object-Oriented Role Analysis Method. His approach, roughly, is to separate concerns by identifying different roles that each object can play. so our item object might have separate shipping and tracking roles. There's also an approach known as subject-oriented programming, developed at IBM's Watson Research Lab, that advocates what they call a multidimensional separation of concerns, in which a separate object taxonomy is constructed for each concern, and a runtime mechanism then coordinates methods across the different taxonomies. Some of these approaches require special runtime systems or language extensions, so people have developed design patterns that give you some separation of concerns using standard language constructs. The Gang of Four visitor pattern, for example, allows you to separate functions on an object hierarchy into separate modules, as opposed to implementing each function as a method of every class, which means that the functions are all mixed up and spread across classes. Visitor is a clever trick, and it's certainly worth knowing, but it's rather an ugly solution to a self-inflicted wound. If you just use a functional language, such as ML or Haskell or Scala, you can achieve the same effect using functions and pattern matching without any special tricks. To be fair, though, these languages certainly don't solve the general problem of separation of concerns. They just address the particular separation that Visitor provides, but in a more elegant way. A completely different approach has become popular in the last few years, called aspect-oriented programming, or AOP. The inventors of AOP, who came from the Xerox PARC research lab, called the kinds of concerns we're talking about cross-cutting concerns, because they cross-cut one another and cannot easily be teased apart. They came up with a mechanism for object-oriented programs that is based on an old feature of Lisp systems, which allowed a programmer to register a method to be called at the start or end of another method. To use AOP, the programmer first writes a base program. For our online store example, this might be a program that handles shipping, but doesn't handle any item tracking functionality. Then the programmer writes what's called an aspect, which is a module that contains a concern to be incorporated. In our case, we'd implement item tracking as such an aspect, with appropriate methods for registering items, changing their status, reporting, and so on. These methods are known, using old Lisp terminology, as advice. The programmer then identifies what are called join points in the base program. These are methods which, when called, should be synchronized with the advice methods. So, for example, the method corresponding to shipping an item would be such a join point. Finally, the programmer indicates which advice methods should be called at which join points. For example, a method to update the item status as shipped might be attached to the shipping method. A special program called a weaver then combines the base program and the aspect so that when it's run, the advice is called at the appropriate join points. This technology has been fairly widely used within IBM, including in WebSphere, IBM's application server. It has some obvious advantages. Because the join points can be specified very succinctly, you can identify a large number of methods with a simple pattern, it is sometimes possible to integrate the advice methods into a very large number of base program locations with very little effort. For some applications, such as experimental logging, this seems ideal. On the other hand, the effect of the weaving may be hard to predict, and unless you're very careful, the combined program may not behave as you expect. As an interim solution, AOP has some merits, but it does seem to me to be rather too ad hoc and unpredictable to form the basis of a serious software development. For our final look at new paradigms for separation of concerns, we turn to model-driven architecture, or MDA. The idea of MDA is very simple. Rather than building a design and then implementing it, you construct, as the design, a model that is precise enough that code can be generated from it automatically. Of course, in practice, this isn't so simple. The most popular modeling language, the Unified Modeling Language, or UML, was designed by a committee and is a large and complex collection of notations containing many constructs whose meaning is not precisely defined. This is bad enough for informal modeling, but when you actually want to write a compiler to generate code from a model, it's a huge stumbling block. So what people tend to do is to avoid full-blown UML. One way is to sidestep UML entirely and develop your own simpler and better defined modeling language. This is what IBM did with EMF, the Eclipse modeling framework, and what Microsoft did with its M language. The other way is to trim UML down to a small subset that can then be given a semantics. This is the approach that Steve Meller took in executable UML. Even if the modeling language is precise, translating an abstract model to code is still hard because a model is usually expressed declaratively, that is, describing the intended effect, rather than operationally, that is, describing how steps are taken to produce the effect. So for model-driven architecture, the modeler does need to include in the model descriptions that are essentially code. Nevertheless, there is still a major advantage that MDA frameworks can provide. The model that the designer produces is said to be a platform-independent model, which means that it factors out the concern of what technology platform the system will use. This means, for example, that the model can use abstract communication primitives without worrying what kind of messaging system will eventually be deployed, and it can describe data updates in a way that does not commit to a particular database, and maybe not even commit to whether there will be an object-oriented or relational backend. This is potentially a huge win, not only because it's very important to be able to switch platforms and not become unnecessarily committed to a particular one, but also because the platform-specific code is often the most complicated and tricky code to write in a system, and generating it automatically therefore saves a great deal of effort. Whether you believe MDA will ever take off as a mainstream practice, it's hard to deny that these ideas are already appearing in standard software developments. Most web development frameworks work by essentially having the programmer express part of the code as a model, and the development framework then handles the platform-specific side of things. In Ruby on Rails, for example, the programmer writes an abstract data model, and the system generates the corresponding database schema. Then data updates and queries can be written as simple object-oriented navigations, and the system converts these into the corresponding SQL queries. That brings our mini-series on separation of concerns to a close. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I'd very much welcome feedback and ongoing discussion on the Accenture Solutions Delivery Academy website. Goodbye.
Copyright 2010, Daniel Jackson. Music copyright 2010, Chris Bremer from pianosociety.com.